Welcome to Right Now. I'm your host, Stacey Chadwell, coming to you live from Las Vegas.
Joining me tonight is Milana Lashinsky. She helps entrepreneurs and professionals who are tired of trading time for money create a highly profitable multi-income stream business so they can enjoy complete personal freedom they truly desire. In 2000, she discovered the world of internet marketing in an attempt to become a work-at-home mom. She quit her job and launched an internet-based business. After writing and successfully selling 3 digital published books, she was introduced to coaching. Her recent book, published book, Coaching Millions, helps more people make more money, enjoy your ultimate lifestyle, has been named the definitive guide to turning a coaching practice into an ultimate lifestyle business and a passive income machine. Milana, thank you so much for joining us again tonight. What books have most influenced your life?
Well, some of the books that I love, are actually in my most recent book. So how about I open it and I just read it to you, because I literally came up with this list just about 2 weeks ago. So the first one is Unleashing the Idea Virus by Seth Godin. Absolutely love that book because it helped me create products that already have marketing built into them. And obviously Seth Godin is a prolific writer. I don't know how many books the guy has written, but he definitely enjoys writing and sharing his ideas. He's got a very prolific blog, so you can tell that he is extremely fond of writing. I also love The E-Myth by Michael Gerber, sort of like the Bible for every business owner. My third favorite book is The Irresistible Offer by Mark Joyner, which I love because anytime I need to go over the top with my products or programs or anything in my marketing, I refer to that book. He really helps you structure and position your product or program in a way that it stands out and makes your offer truly irresistible. A couple of recent books that I really, really enjoyed, The Art of Nonconformity by Chris Guillebeau. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name. The Art of Nonconformity. It's just very thought-provoking. You talk about personality and opinion, taking a stand. He's the guy. And so is The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss, of course. You can't not mention this book if you're working in a lifestyle business. He is the king of that.
My husband and I each own a copy of that book because I wouldn't share with him.
Well, the book that really inspired me in many different ways, personally, business-wise, financially, is the T. Harv Eker's Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. That is the one book that I actually read cover to cover, which I rarely do. As I said, I prefer listening to books or to materials versus reading them, but this is the one book that I read cover to cover. His book is actually mind-shifting. I have actually changed my mind about several very powerful things that I already had an opinion about in my 30s. So for somebody to create a book that can change a 30-year-old woman's mind about many, big things in life, that takes skill. And T. Harv Eker did that in his Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. And I think it's a masterpiece. And what most people don't realize is it's also a great marketing piece for him, for his business, to get people into his funnel, his events, and become his fans, like I have become.
Very good. Those are all excellent books. If you had to choose, which writer would you consider a mentor?
A mentor in my business or a mentor as a writer?
You know what? Let's do both. How about in your business?
In my business, definitely somebody like Michael Gerber would come to mind first. just based on all the ideas that he shares in his e-myth books. Personally, as a writer, I think I really love the very first e-book that I have ever read, and that was Ken Evoy's Make Your Knowledge Sell. As a writer, especially when you're writing how-to books, I think it's really important to write in a simple way. And although his ebook was 800 pages, I read it also from cover to cover. The statute of limitations has run out, so I can share with you this information. But I have used a printer at my job to print out all 800 pages because I would not read on the screen. I couldn't read on the screen, time-wise, and just wasn't convenient or comfortable to do that. So I printed out the entire ebook, and I would sit in my bed before going to sleep, and I would read it every night for 3 months. The reason that I so much enjoyed it and it inspired me to write my first, my own first ebook is because of how fun and simple it was. The writing style was so simple that even my 11-year-old daughter, whose English is also not her first language, could understand. So writing to an 11-year-old is a great way to think about your writing style. You know, if you know a kid, a fifth grader, a sixth grader, who is not necessarily that brilliant or, you know, who's not necessarily a gifted student, write for somebody like that, and you'll notice that your customers, your readers will love you, because that's the best way to share your ideas is to keep it very simple.
Great advice. I hear you should write to, I've heard that, to write to the fifth grade level to, because it can be enjoyed by so many more people if you're, you, instead of using the long words or deep thoughts, this will appeal to a wider audience.
And I actually had one of my clients who was offended by me saying that, but I said that, you know, write to somebody who maybe is a little slower. And, you know, she was offended by that because I guess she assumed that I implied that Americans are not very smart, that they will not read if it's difficult to read. That's not what I mean at all. What I was saying is that you don't want to make reading your book hard work. People work hard enough already, and they will read if they have to. You know, I just had to figure out, read all the material about prostate cancer because my dad was diagnosed with it. So I had to research a lot of information. Will I read that information even though it's difficult to read? Absolutely. It makes me think and makes me go back to the first line and read it over and over again until I understand. Absolutely. But if you're writing a book for people to enjoy and to evoke emotion, you have to write simple.
But I think you and I could, but all and everybody or most people could agree that, you know, like you were saying, if it was medical or legal, it'd be so much more helpful if it was written in plain English, so we could understand it, get the information that we need, so we could move forward, as opposed to trying to get that medical degree so you can understand what they said.
Right, and you know, people are just using really sophisticated words because they maybe want to, you know, sound smarter or sound more sophisticated, more professional. So it depends on really what you're writing. I know that I get this amazing feedback from my customers and my readers saying that, you know, Milana, you're such a brilliant teacher. Your material is so crystal clear. For the first time, I understand what I must do right now to move forward with my ideas. And that is a great, great compliment to me because complexity stops people. Simplicity moves them forward. It gives them confidence that they can do it. So that's exactly what I am kind of subconsciously injecting into my writings because I don't like to create difficult or read difficult materials.
Great advice, Milana. So I understand you're very good at writing hot sales copies. So what advice do you have for those starting to write their own sales copies?
So copywriting is an incredibly difficult skill to master. 99% of people who call themselves copywriters are probably not getting any results with their copy. And this is maybe an exaggeration, but in my 10 years of business, I maybe have found three copywriters who can write well and do not charge an arm and a leg. Anybody who is good, they're charging thousands of dollars to write a decent marketing copy, or maybe we should call it direct response copy, that sells a product, for example, or that moves people to making a decision or take action. The way that I work with copy is I studied it for a year. So, you know, I really spent a good chunk of time studying it and writing it myself. And then I said, you know what, I don't like doing it. I'm not going to become a copywriter. I don't like to write long copy. And so anytime I have to create a copy, like a sales letter, for example, I write a rough draft. I put all my benefits of the product. I put all the I respond to all the objections, you know, everything that your everyday copywriting book will tell you that you need to include in your copy. And then I send it to my copywriter for polishing and for creating a nice flow. So because it's a long letter writing, that's a skill. Now, I can write emails because they're short, and I can create enticing paragraphs and sentences. But beyond that, I really use the help of a professional copywriter who dedicated his life to studying copy. And, you know, we can have a whole conversation of why delegate something, why outsource. But this is definitely one of those things that you can do yourself, but always keep in mind that if you hire a copywriter who is good at it, you will always get better results. The very first ebook I wrote, as I mentioned to you earlier, How to Create Your First Website in 10 Days, I used to sell them one a week. When my copywriter rewrote the copy, he just took my copy and he enhanced it. I went from one a week to about 2-3 a day. The results.
Wow.
And imagine what you can do. That was 10 years ago. He has now improved dramatically. And, you know, what's funny is that he was a 16-year-old boy who didn't tell me of his age, worrying that I might not hire him. And, of course, you know, he revealed his age after I experienced these amazing results. And, of course, I didn't care about his age and continued to hire him. To this day, he is my favorite copywriter, and I recommend him to my, my private clients. He's truly fascinating how somebody can change a few words here and there, add a story, change the headline, and your life changes. Because it has changed mine, you know. Going from one sale a week to three sales a day, something like that can change your life.
Oh, definitely. So what is the hardest part, because you did study it, what is the hardest part of writing sales copy?
For me, it's connecting all the pieces. I can tell you, I can respond to objections. I can maybe even create a hot headline, a decent headline, but it's pulling it all together. It feels like a monster of a project. I would say that creating this flow, I think they're called connections. How do you connect one section to another? How do you go from telling your story to talking about your program? One tip that I want to give you is, recently I noticed that I've been writing my own copy without even having my copywriter take a look at it. And the way I've been doing it is, instead of writing a long sales letter, I create a PowerPoint with slides. And every slide has benefit-rich bullets. The other reason I like a PowerPoint, which later turns into a video, is because I imagine how I tell a story to somebody. You know, I'll say things like, "Hi, this is Milana Lashinsky, and 10 years ago, I was a web designer making $15 an hour. Today, I run a $500,000 business from home on 20 hours a day. Would you like to know how I did it?" Well, follow me and I'll share with you. I'll share the story with you. And so it starts like a story because it's a video. I get to talk to people into the camera or maybe in a PowerPoint. And it makes it easier for me to write a PowerPoint because I know I'm going to speak it. I know that I'm going to turn it into a personal story and connect it to my product. So that feels a lot easier for me than to write word after word like a letter. So that might be an interesting approach for somebody who hates writing copy but loves telling stories.
That is really good advice. So why did you choose to write your first three books digitally?
Well, you know, when you asked me that question the first time, I thought to myself, I didn't even know that I could write my books and get them published or self-published. I was not seeing it as writing an e-book. I was seeing it as creating an information product. And I immediately assumed that publishing or self-publishing was not an option for me because I'm a new business owner. I don't have the money to spend or to test anything. And I'm just going to do it in a digital format. So this didn't seem like an option to me at the time.
How about that? So would you recommend starting out digitally, or would you recommend self-publishing or a published account?
It depends on where you are as a writer or as a business owner. If you're using writing a book as a business tool and you already have income, then go ahead and, you know, get it published or self-published. If you're literally just dipping your toes into your writing career or into running a business, then I would definitely recommend staying on the budget and testing your topic and your product first before, you know, generate some income first before you go and spend all that money on publishing and printing. Even that little book that I have on my desk, which I wrote to celebrate my 10 years in business, I called it Milana's Million Dollar Marvels, 25 Critical Business Lessons Learned While Going from Zero to Million. I mean, that book, 60 pages, it cost me $2 to print. It also cost me $150 to get it designed inside and about $125 to get the cover, which I wanted to look decent. So, I mean, we're talking about some serious money for a new business owner.
Right. So how did you come up with the cover? I mean, did you design it yourself?
No, I use a website called 99 Designs, where designers compete by submitting their designs to you, and then you choose the winning design, and that designer gets paid. And I
Excellent.
Love that site because you get to see, you get to get different ideas. See, when you work with one designer, you usually get kind of similar ideas, and I wanted to see diverse ideas. Some were, you know, really out of the box. Some were very boring. Some were classy, others were funky, and I got to pick the one that has that really, when I look at it, I just go, that looks great. So it really connects with me emotionally, and that's the one I chose.
Yeah, because then you get to choose which one resonates with you, your message, everything. You understand what your message is, and you get to choose the one that you feel like fits everything. So I can see where you would feel
right.
Tied to that one.
Multiple designs. You know, I like options. I don't like when somebody sends me two designs and says, okay, which one do you like? I'm like, neither. So when you get, and especially if you're willing to pay a little more for your cover, you also get, you attract better designers, more skilled, more creative, people who constantly work and they always get projects because they're good. So I say if you use 99designs.com as your choice of design site, you know, pay well. And, you know, I pay depending on how important it is to me. This specific cover, you know, this is just a celebrational book. I don't plan to market it. This book is going to go to all of my clients. People are going to be able to get a copy at my event. I don't plan to market it. It's just a little thing for me to be proud of, the 25 things I learned in the last 10 years. But if it was extremely important to me, I would spend more money. For example, CoachyMillions.com, or actually CoachyMillions' book, the cover cost me $2,000. Back in 2006, I thought my coach was crazy when he recommended that designer. But I went for it because I wanted this book to be on the shelves of, you know, Borders, Barnes & Noble. I wanted it to be on Amazon. I wanted it to be a really high-quality, publishable, noticeable, professionally-looking book. So I spent that money. For this cover, $125, I was happy. And no, it's not a $2,000 cover, but it's good enough.
That's very good, because it does, I mean, it depends on what you're, why you're writing your book, like you said. So I think that's really good advice. If you had to do it all over again, would you change anything about your latest book, when you were just telling us about the Coaching Millions?
I would try to finish it faster. It took me 2 years. It was at one point I remember I thought of even extending it, because I felt like as I was writing the book, I was learning new things, I would get new ideas, and it just seemed like a never-ending process. So I had to stop myself and say, enough. Enough tweaking, enough ideas. I don't want to turn it into an encyclopedia. I want it to be a book that I can be proud of, that can be useful, and so I finished it. The one mistake I made early on as I began writing Coaching Millions is I decided to hire a ghostwriter. So I gave him all of my newsletter issues, all of my articles, and I said, here you are, write my book for me. The ghostwriter was a former New York Times reporter. He took all of my opinions out and made it so generic that I just wanted to throw it out when I saw it for the first time.
Oh.
And I said, you know, if I want to be proud of this book and if I want to impact anybody with this book, I need to really sit down and write it. And that's what I did. Now, what I would have done differently today is I would have spoken this book instead of writing it. So that's something that I would have done differently. Now, one thing I learned about writing short books, and, you know, one of the things that I was going to share with you is how I wrote my very last book, Million Dollar Marvels, is the fact that I wanted to sit down and record it, but then I thought, if you record it, you're going to end up with, you know, hundreds of pages of transcript, and then you have to go and polish it. And I actually voted against that. I wanted a short book. And so instead of going through the recording and transcribing process and then trying to polish it up, I said, I'm going to write it as a very short book. And if you open it right now, you would see on the left side of each page, you would see a quote or a lesson that I learned in big block letters. On the right side of each page, you would see a story describing how I learned that lesson. So essentially this book is 25 quotes or statements, and each one comes with a little story that takes only one page. This book was the fastest book I've ever written or ever thought I would write. It took me 2 weeks for a completed book. And so in the future, I plan to follow a similar format, especially if it's a book for inspiration, not necessarily a how-to instruction. So sometimes recording and transcribing can stand in your way, and it can give you so much, it can give you an overwhelming amount of material. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do.
Starting from hundreds of pages of transcript can be very overwhelming, very paralyzing. So instead of writing a full-blown book, I just wrote it, I structured it in a very simple way. I know people are going to love it. It's going to be very inspiring. It's got a lot of personality. So it's, you know, it's really, really nice.
It sounds wonderful. I like how you took it and found another technique on how to do it.
Yeah.
So what are you working on now that you just finished that one?
You know, I don't have any plans to actually write anything. I did have a plan to write a book about a year ago, and one of my mentors advised me against it because it didn't fit my audience. It would be just something fun to write, but it didn't particularly fit my overall business strategy, so I decided not to do that. As far as writing, I don't really have plans. You know, I see writing, again, as a tool, not as something that I do for fun. And if anything, right now I'm focusing on producing my live event, my coaching programs, on membership programs. Video is becoming really, really important as the media to transfer your message and to build your business. So I'm trying other ways of connecting with my customers. Will I write another book in the future? Most likely. I like to write. I like to see writing books as a way of acknowledging a milestone in my business. The reason I wrote Coaching Millions was because I had a very specific way and philosophy of running a coaching business that other coaches were not being taught, and they were struggling financially. So I felt like this is my entry into this market. This Million Dollar Marvels is really to celebrate 10 years in my business. So I find that writing my books as a way of acknowledging that I learned, that I've accomplished something, or that I acquired a new body of knowledge, that's the best way that I think I'm going to continue with my writing strategy, is just to celebrate and to acknowledge various events and accomplishments throughout my business.
Well, one last question. What do you recommend people do to start writing products, like when they get inspired or sit down for a certain amount of time? Because I know that you teach people how to write products. I think that so what would you recommend people do to get started?
I think the easiest kind of a writing product, you know, whether you write it from scratch or you record it, is go through an interview process. That's the easiest way, the fastest way to create a book, an e-book, an information product, is a 1 or 2 hour interview that can be, if you choose to, can be transcribed and polished into a written product, or simply, write your own questions that you want to ask yourself about your topic of expertise and just write down the answers underneath. If you don't like writing, I find that it's very unproductive to force yourself to write. And there are so many people who do love to write. So I suggest that if you really want to write a book, go through this interview process, have somebody interview you, or come up with your own questions and answers, and then hire a ghostwriter to turn those, the material that you came up with into a written product, into a finished product. As long as you tell them to keep your personality and your opinion intact so that you don't end up with the situation that I did years ago, then you'll be fine. I now work with several writers who will take they will take chunks of my information on a topic and they will blend it together so it becomes a product. I love it because it doesn't make me sit and perfect it. And perfecting your book or your finished product can really slow you down.
You're absolutely right, especially if you're a perfectionist. Like, it sounds like you are.
Maybe. I don't like to say that about myself, but maybe sometimes okay. I do. And maybe because I know that about myself, I find ways not to do the things that make me perfect things. So I try to get products, books, materials, programs out there as fast as possible, and I usually design all of my programs and all of my products and materials in real time with real live paying customers who pay me for developing a product or program in real time with them being on the other line asking me real questions that will also help me improve my products along the way. So one of the things that will slow somebody down is the fact that they're creating their product in a vacuum. One last example I'm going to give you. There's a man by the name of Phil Humbert, and I learned about him 6 years ago. He's a life coach, I believe. And I remember being shocked at the strategy he used, where even before he has written his book, he already generated $10,000 for his book sales. The way he did it is he opened a little program where he would write and send people one chapter of his book a week. They would have to read it and come back to him with questions on a teleseminar call. He would take his questions, answer them, and then he would improve each chapter of the book. But here's the kicker. He actually charged people to participate in this program.
Wow.
He charged people for helping him write his book and make it better. And it also forced him to write his book one chapter a week. It gave him a deadline. He had to write a chapter a week because he committed to his customers. And, you know, I don't know how much he charged or how many people there were. I think maybe, 50 people paid $200 or something like that. But he did generate $10,000 before the book was even written. What a great advance.
That is amazing. And it's a great way to get yourself out of your way. Kind of like you were talking about with the he got himself out of the way, made himself a deadline, and he found a way to improve it without and have somebody paying for it. That's wonderful. What a fabulously brilliant person.
I know.
Well, Milana, it was a pleasure having you on our show tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. Could you share your website so people could go to it and find out more information about you?
Yes. Well, I specialize, if you haven't figured that out yet, in creating a multiple income streams business. My website is milana.com, which you spell M-I-L-A-N-A. And one of the things you can immediately grab there, which is absolutely free, is my ebook, which is called 7 Secrets to Creating a Highly Profitable Multiple Income Streams Business. And it's great for you whether you are a coach, a consultant, an author, a speaker. If you are selling your knowledge for a living, that ebook would be invaluable to you.
I concur. I downloaded your book. I've read it. It's incredible. Great advice in that book. So I highly recommend it.
Good. Thanks for having me, Stacy.
Thank you. And if you'd like more information about Milana Lashinsky, please go to the GetEI.com website. That's GETEI.com, where you can find out more information about her and her website and the book she just mentioned. Thank you.
And thank you for joining us on Right Now. I'm Stacy Chabot. Have an excellent week.